Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, I report on the return of toxic air in New Delhi. Jill Robbins has a story on an art installation that deals with the lack of affordable housing in Los Angeles. And Mario Ritter Jr. has the education report on the importance of housing when it comes to children's education. Later, John Russell presents the lesson of the day. But first, face coverings, or masks, are back on the streets of New Delhi as residents deal with an increase in air pollution. The city's government has ordered primary schools to close this week, and polluting vehicles and building projects are banned. A thick cover of smog hangs over New Delhi's monuments and buildings. In the Indian capital, officials are struggling to reduce severe air pollution levels. Air pollution in New Delhi is a yearly and continuous health crisis that affects the lives of over 20 million in the city. On Tuesday, the air quality index came close to the level of 400 for tiny particulate matter. That is a level considered dangerous. It is more than 10 times the level considered safe, said SAFAR, India's main environmental agency. It is the fifth straight day of bad air in the area. Officials have released water sprinklers and anti-smog guns to control the pollution. They also announced a fine of $240 for drivers found using gasoline and diesel cars, buses, and trucks that create smog. Meanwhile, doctors have advised residents to wear masks and avoid outdoors as much as possible. Residents like 55-year-old Renu Agarwal are worried the smog will worsen as Diwali approaches this weekend. The Hindu festival of light includes the lighting of fireworks. Agarwal said her daughter has a pollen allergy that worsens with pollution. She cannot breathe. Even though we keep the doors and windows shut in our home, the pollution still affects her so much that even going to the washroom is difficult for her. And she gets breathless, she said. New Delhi tops the list almost every year of many Indian cities with poor air quality. It gets especially bad in the winter when crops are burned in neighboring states and cooler temperatures create smoggy conditions. Burning the remains of crops at the start of the winter wheat season is an important cause to the pollution in North India. Officials have been trying to prevent farmers from using the method by offering money to buy machines to turn the soil. But the Indian Institute of Tropical Meteorology says smoke from crop burning still accounts for 25% of the pollution in New Delhi. Respirer Living Sciences is a group that watches air quality and other environmental signs. It said New Delhi saw a sharp 32% rise in tiny particles in the air between 2019 and 2020, a decrease of 44% in 2021, and a steady increase in 2022 and 2023. The severe air pollution crisis affects every resident in the city, but the millions who work outdoors are even more at risk. Gulshan Kumar drives a motorized rickshaw. He said his nose, throat, and eyes regularly fill up with dirt in the air. His children urge him to return to his hometown in Bihar State. "They ask me why I work in this polluted and diseased city," he said. "If I had had employment back home, I wouldn't have come to Delhi to work."
Of Judy Bramfman's friends and neighbors found themselves unable to afford housing in Venice Beach, a neighborhood in Los Angeles. So Bramfman began photographing the houses and apartments being sold, renovated, and then resold at two or three times the cost. Bramfman thought she should be recording the growing problem of evictions and housing in Venice Beach. The writer and activist was disappointed that Venice is losing what made it an interesting, artistic neighborhood to her. Her photo project has gained some attention. Earlier this year, Bramfman started hosting community meetings where residents could share their experiences with evictions that caused them to become homeless. Some people read poems. Others expressed themselves through paintings. They started gathering information on housing and evictions. Bramfman's idea to take a few photos became an art exhibit called "Where Has All the Affordable Housing Gone?" The idea was to illustrate the problem, to show what we've lost, Bramfman said. Venice Beach became a center of the homelessness crisis during the coronavirus pandemic in Los Angeles. The nation's second largest city has an estimated 46,000 people who are homeless in a population of 4 million people. Venice Beach has been popular for the arts for a long time. But people noticed the difference between rich and poor there as technology companies moved in and people started building costly modern homes. The nonprofit group Angeleno Project said that about 80% of low-income Los Angeles renters pay over half their income toward housing costs. At Bramfman's exhibit, her photos are displayed on a large and detailed map. The map shows many of the nearly 1,500 rent-controlled homes she said have been lost from the housing market in Venice over 20 years. In some cases, the buildings were sold to large corporations that are buying up properties and increasing rents. The map and the exhibit say part of the problem is a law called the Ellis Act. The 1985 California law gave apartment owners power to evict tenants in rent-controlled buildings for redevelopment. Owners can then later require higher rents for the same apartments. Rent-controlled means that rents are limited by law. Bramfman said she suffered because of the law when she was evicted from a Venice Beach apartment in 2003. Too many tenants are afraid to fight back, and most don't know what their rights are under the law, she said. Even when tenants do bring complaints, she said, the city very rarely deals with the claims. Bramfman and other housing activists are hopeful that change could come with a measure that will be voted on in 2024. The measure would expand local control by overturning a 28-year-old law that bans rent control on single-family homes, condominiums, and rental properties that were built after 1995. I'm Jill Robbins.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Last year, 40% of students in Los Angeles public schools missed more than 10% of the school year. That information comes from the Los Angeles Unified School District, which says about 429,000 students are enrolled in its schools. In addition to the attendance numbers, the district's website says its officials did not know where 2,500 students were. These students stopped attending classes and did not appear to enroll anywhere else. Elmer Roldan is executive director of Communities in Schools of Los Angeles, a nonprofit group that aims to keep children in school. He said, housing is the biggest reason kids aren't going to school or we can't find them. The Associated Press, AP, recently reported on a case of one of those children whose housing situation led to problems at school. 15-year-old Denefi Sanchez has faced housing problems with his family for years. An AP reporter spoke with the teenager and his family. Denefi lives with his mother, Lillian Lopez, and a 3-year-old sister. Lopez had been having a hard time keeping up with monthly rent payments in an earlier apartment. So the family of three shared a small living space with Fabiola del Castillo, someone they did not know. As they fell behind on rent payments again, del Castillo wanted to give up the apartment and pressured the family to leave. To fight the threat of losing their home, Denefi stayed in the apartment and missed school. Federal data shows that the majority of students the government considers homeless have a place to stay. But the situation is often complex with shared roommates and an unsure future. In Los Angeles, the city's superintendent said last spring that 13,000 students were homeless and 2,000 of them stayed in city shelters. In Denefi's case, his family was struggling to stay in their small apartment. His father has not been with them. His mother immigrated from Guatemala 22 years ago. In 2020, after his mother gave birth to Jennifer, his sister, the family was homeless. That year, schools across the country closed because of the spread of COVID-19. Denefi tried to attend seventh grade classes online through Zoom, but said he could not pay attention. "I felt like they were judging me," he said. By ninth grade, classes became more difficult, and his family did not have internet service at home. Denefi's grades crashed. His school offered help with homework. But AP reported the boy said that he really wanted a therapist. Denefi spoke to the school's psychiatric social worker to see if she could help him get mental health counseling. But demand for such help increased sharply during the pandemic. In 2021, an opinion study by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said 42% of high school students said they felt sad or hopeless a lot compared to 28% 10 years before. After leaving the apartment shared with Castillo, Denefi's family had another bad experience sharing a place. Then they found a place where they could live without roommates through an old friend. The apartment is small and costs $1,250 to rent each month. That is more than Denefi's mother makes from government assistance and cleaning jobs. The 15-year-old now has a laptop computer provided by the school and a wireless connection to help with schoolwork. He has the most trouble with writing. "I never know where to put the commas and other punctuation," he said. He also sees a therapist at school once a week. But he is worried that his family's new living situation might change. His mother needs to find a full-time job to meet the rent payments. Speaking of his mother, Denefi says she tells him not to worry. "But I do," he said. "What if we don't have money and we get kicked out again?" I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.
Mario's here now to discuss today's education report. Welcome, Mario.
It's good to be here, Dan. Thanks.
Your story today focused on the problems of one student in the Los Angeles Public School District. I wanted to talk about the structure of the story. So, for English learners and writers, what do you think is the theme of this story?
Really good question, Dan. The main theme in several forms of writing develops from identifying a problem. In this case, the problem is that students are missing classes and schools are losing track of students. That gets supported by numbers in the first sentence. 40% of students in the school district missed at least 10% of the school year. So, the problem is presented and quantified early on. That is important in this kind of writing.
So, the theme or subject of the story comes right at the beginning. As readers, we're made aware of the problem and how big it is. Why is it important to get the theme of a story early rather than have it in the middle or even the end?
Some types of writing can delay providing important information, but in our education report, it's best to present the main idea early on. That's because everyone who reads the story does not have the same amount of additional knowledge about its subject. When you provide the basic information needed to understand the problem early in the story, the rest of the story becomes clearer and makes sense and is better organized.
What about the Los Angeles student Denefi's story? How does his story fit in?
Denefi's story exemplifies the details of the theme. His experiences show readers that students face serious educational problems when their living situation is or becomes irregular. The story also shows that the pandemic school closings made difficult situations worse for many young people. Denefi's experiences also suggest ways that young people can solve the problem of missing classes by getting help and services needed to support and improve.
So the way the story is structured can be just as important as the details of the story itself. Isn't that the case?
I couldn't put it better myself, Dan.
Thanks for coming on the show today, Mario.
Thank you, Dan.
This next report, Dan Friedel tells us about a music group's performance of a version of Vivaldi's famous musical work, The Four Seasons. We learn that changes made to the music are meant to show issues facing the modern world. Pay careful attention to the verb interpret. We will talk more about it after the report.
Antonio Vivaldi's famous musical work, The Four Seasons, was first performed in the 1700s. Many music historians call it a masterpiece, the musical composer's greatest work. The composition includes four parts for the four seasons: spring, summer, autumn, and winter. Each part recalls the season it is aiming to describe. For example, the website Galaxy Music Notes says summer has a slow start, portraying the weather as too hot for any movement. Autumn is a celebration of the harvest. One music director in Spain decided to interpret the 300-year-old work for modern times. The composer and producer, Jaime Costa, told the Reuters news agency that Vivaldi's work would have been a lot more aggressive and dirty if it was written today. Costa said the weather is so different now that if today someone were to compose the Four Seasons from a realistic perspective, it would be daring. So he updated Vivaldi's piece to reflect the real world. Reuters said he added prominence and drama to the summer portion and shortened the other seasons because of global warming. The musical group or orchestra performs the music in front of a video screen showing the effects of climate change, such as wildfires and dry weather. One part shows the clouds involved in a hurricane. Costa created the adaptation of the Four Seasons to go along with the recent Global Climate Action Day. He said he wants people listening to feel really bothered by becoming truly aware of what is happening. He said the sheet music is freely available for anyone to play. Ernesto Rodriguez Camino is president of the Spanish Meteorological Society. He said the effects of climate change in Spain could be catastrophic. He said periods of high heat will last longer and bring wildfires and the chance of strong rainfall. When asked, Costa, the composer, said he did not think Vivaldi would have a problem with his changes. I'm Dan Friedel.
Before the report, we asked you to pay careful attention to the word interpret. Can you remember when you heard it? You heard it when the music director talked about making changes to the Four Seasons. Let's listen again.
One music director in Spain decided to interpret the 300-year-old work for modern times. The composer and producer, Jache Costa, told the Reuters news agency that Vivaldi's work would have been a lot more aggressive and dirty if it was written today.
The Online Etymology Dictionary tells us that the verb interpret dates to the late 14th century. It comes from an old French word that meant explain or translate. In modern English, interpret still means to explain the meaning of something, but in the case of art, music, acting, and so on, it has a slightly different meaning. When used in the context of art, interpret means to perform something in a way that shows your own thoughts and feelings about it. So, when the music director decided to interpret the Four Seasons, that means that the music director is including personal thoughts or feelings. Interpret is a verb, but it has a noun form that is commonly used, interpretation. Google's Ngram Viewer, a large online database of English, suggests that interpretation might be more commonly used than the verb interpret. Still, it is good to be familiar with both. How might you use either of them in a sentence? Consider these two examples that have basically the same meaning, although the grammar is slightly different. The musicians interpreted Vivaldi's The Four Seasons, and the musicians performed an interpretation of Vivaldi's The Four Seasons. Now let's end with a quiz. Fill in the blank with the correct form of interpret. Last week, I went to the theater to see Shakespeare's Othello. The main actor, blank, Othello, in an unusual way. The answer is the past form, interpreted. The main actor interpreted Othello in an unusual way. And that's the lesson of the day. I'm John Russell.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.